You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast 2011 year-end special. This episode, Awesome Hitler.
Welcome, everybody, to this end-of-the-year special.
Did you say yeehaw end-of-the-year special?
Yeehaw end-of-the-year special. No, I actually messed up. I said year.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, yeehaw end-of-the-year special.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Green Lantern End of the Year Special. I am your host, Frank Mateo. Today, we are giving you our best and worst of what came out of 2011. Pretty much, if every single issue that came up to that had come from before into the new year of 2012, we're going to be giving you what our thoughts as to what was the best, what was the worst, who was the greatest, who was pretty lacklustered, and what came out of 2011 overall that made us all excited. Again, I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and joining me today are Kuhan, Colton, and Brandon, my three right hands, clearly capable of telling left from right.
We can only tell right.
I like
okay, because Brandon can only tell left.
Four left hands and only three right hands. That's awesome.
Why would he have four left hands?
He needs one for certain duties, and the other three are for, sports.
Sports, right. Yeah.
Eloquently done by Brandon.
Andrew's not here because he's busy talking about poop, right?
Him and his daughter, yes.
Him and his daughter. And Eric isn't here because what?
Yeah, as of this recording, for all our listeners, Eric has become a proud father since January 1st of this year of 2012. His newborn son is named Jack Benjamin Cahill. So if any of you out there wish to say good wishes to him, to Eric and Angela, his significant other, congratulate
don't.
Them both.
Just don't.
Congratulate
if you want
them
to,
both.
Just think about it.
Congratulate them both for their newly blessed life, Jack Benjamin Cahill.
Jack Benjamin Salak Cahill.
Or as Brandon has clearly called him, Jack Benjamin Salak Damian Wayne Cahill.
The third. For some reason. I don't even know why. I call him Colton Clayton Cahill because it's funny.
He calls him that because it's a Loop on the Third reference.
What?
What?
Brandon does.
Oh, the third. Oh.
All right. So we'll move on. We're going to move on to our nominations and our nominees for Best and Worst Cover.
The nominations for Best and Worst Cover are all the covers.
All the covers since 2011. So starting from Brandon. Brandon, what was your worst cover of 2011?
Ooh, starting off with the bad stuff.
Bad stuff first.
Green Lantern 66. This cover was done by, I'm pretty sure this is Aaron Lopresti. And it prominently features Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan strung up on construct chains, where Guy Gardner is at least 300 pounds and Hal Jordan is dangerously close to his chest. Not to mention the Guardians are fused with the entities and they look horrendous.
Looks like a bad album cover, basically.
There's one of them that looks like a fish. The other one looks like, I don't know, he just stepped out of a Star Trek movie, and there's one of them with two heads for some odd reason, but it's horrible. Horrible.
And then the one with the extended skull. I can't think of what that movie looked
like. Oh, the Rage and the Butcher?
Yeah.
Carlton, what was your worst cover of 2011?
I'd have to say that Emerald Warriors is not in a high note cover-wise. Guy Gardner just looks awful. I mean, Batman looks okay, but he's Batman. He's contractually obligated to look good.
That's Emerald Warriors 13, right?
Possible.
Yeah, Emerald Warriors number 13, you mean.
Yeah, you didn't say the number.
It was not their lucky number, because, you know, the book ended at 13.
Yeah, no.
And it had a terrible cover, and it's kind of a crappy issue to this.
All right, okay. Kuan, your worst cover.
My worst cover is Green Lantern Corps 59. This is also done by Aaron Lopresti. And if you listen to the episode in which we reviewed it, I couldn't tell this person was a professional artist. Nobody looks proper. I'm pretty sure I have friends in like, you know, 10th, 9th grade. I'm pretty sure they could do better than this. I can't say much about it. The coloring was kiddie as well, but mostly it's just the art. It's just not good.
All right. Well, for my worst cover of the year was Green Lantern Corps number 56. It was it was pretty much a run of covers during DC's lineup where everyone had a white background cover and then the logo of the issue. And this is the one that features Sinestro on the cover.
Oh no!
Yeah, I have to say this one was the worst one of the year for me. I mean, it just horribly done. It was also drawn by Tyler Kirkham, and it's just god awful. I'm sorry to say. You know, the lines on his face, you can't even figure out where the mustache starts and where his, you know, wrinkles begin. It's a ridiculously bad cover in my taste.
And can we give an honorable mention to 58, because that was also quite bad? Green Lantern Corps 58. Not a fan of that one either.
All right, honorable mention to Green Lantern Corps number 58. All right, so we're gonna
dishonorable mention, I guess.
Sure. Dishonorable mention. So we're gonna move to best cover of the year. Brandon, what was the best cover of the year for you?
We're gonna go to Emerald Knights. Emerald Warriors. Yeah, Emerald Warriors number 8. I think it was featured Green Lantern Guy Gardner and Green Lantern Hal Jordan. Except instead of being hung by these chains, Guy Gardner is now strangling Hal with these chains. So, you know, that's the kind of relationship these guys have. And I think it looks fantastic. It's very Alex Ross-esque. I think it's done by Rodolfo Migliori. Or Felipe Massafera. Either one. One of them did it. But it's a pretty good cover. Very Alex Ross-like painted portrait cover. And I like it.
All right. Carlton, what was your best cover of the year?
If I had to pick, interestingly enough, my best was not that far from my worst. Green Lantern Emerald Warriors number 12. I like the design with the skull, vomiting out the rings, kind of the symbolism of life and death that comes with the rings. Well, mostly death in this case, especially when Tomasi writes it, but I definitely found it to be a nice cover.
Good. Kuhan.
I'm going to have to go with Green Lantern number 60. It was done by Gary Frank. It's the one where Hal is on top of Parallax Flash. And I think I gave it to that mostly because I didn't like many of the covers, although I also later saw Emerald Warriors 8, and that was pretty good. But I think I'm going to stick with this one. It's pretty cool looking, and I like the design of Parallax Flash, even if the issue wasn't all that good.
Good choices. My best of the year was, in fact, Emerald Warriors number 8, along with Brandon, done by Felipe Massafera. It's just a wonderfully rendered piece, you know, having both Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan being choked out by the green chains. It was also the third part of War of the Green Lantern story arc. It's a fantastic cover, rendered beautifully. The colors match wonderfully with the green sort of painted brush strokes of it all. It was a great issue. I would love to say that Gary Frank was my second choice though for that Parallax Flash one. Or even the Butcher episode, the Butcher issue that came out right after that one. So we're gonna move on to best and worst issue of 2011. So Carlton, worst issue of 2011.
The worst issue of 2011 is that first arc of Emerald Warriors. That one issue.
Narrowed it down.
Joking aside, probably just. not a very specific numbered issue, but somewhere in the middle, because the problem with that is it really just kind of seemed to blend together. I mean, it was so tedious, it was so slow, it was like just grinding to a halt. That kind of announced my problems with the series as a whole, but especially in the early parts where it just seemed like this all could have been done in such a shorter amount of time. It's just a blur to me.
Hmm. Kulan, what was your best issue of 2011?
My best issue of 2011? Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Are we going with worst first and then best? I'm confused.
I mean worst. Okay. Let me start. Kulan, what was your worst issue of 2011?
My worst issue of 2011. This is a tough one, because there were so many great issues this year. just so great. Yeah. Okay. So my worst issue of 2011, I think I'm gonna have to say was probably. It's tough. I think I'm gonna go with Green Lantern Corps number 56, 57, somewhere around there. It was one
of
the weapon
ones. Are you flipping a coin right now or something?
Let me do that right now.
Scrolling your finger down.
Hold on. This is the same on both sides.
Maybe I just can't remember the issue number.
I can't. I think it was 56, but it might have been 57. I'm gonna go with that as my worst issue. It was one of the weaponer ones. It might have been. I think it was the conclusion. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with 57. That was pretty bad.
The conclusion
issue. So Brandon, what was your worst issue of 2011?
My worst issue, unfortunately, and it kills me. And it really does kill me. It has to be the weaponer, the conclusion, because it had so much potential in it. I argued with you guys about how amazing Tony Bedard was going to spin the Kyle versus Sinestro thing around, and he just said, nope, I'm not going to do that. And then at the end, he even made the weaponer join with Sinestro. It was not good. Not good.
Never know. Might be an editorial mandate.
I can understand that. So my worst issue of 2011 was actually Green Lantern number 61. And this was the introduction of the Butcher entity to the fold of the rest of the entities during the New Guardian storyline. And the main reason why this is my worst issue of the run was because we've heard so much of Jeff Johns mentioning offhand how the Butcher was supposed to be such a cosmic force that it even made the Spectre shake in his boots.
Ran away.
Yeah, little booties that the Spectre wore. That apparently, in this issue, we had nothing of the sort. Especially even, this even began with Atrocitus destroying and killing an abuser and his victim in a car just to figure out where the Rage Entity was. And then when the Rage Entity does finally show up, all it pretty much does is get its ass handed to it by the Spectre for about 5 pages. And then at the very end of it, the Spectre, as it was going to pass judgment on Atrocitus, goes, I forgive you. Your mission is holy. Peace out, y'all.
I'm out.
And that was it. I'm sorry. For what it was, it was not the best executed issue of all time. And secondly, it did not live up to any expectations that was laid out before it. Sad story. So we're going to move on to best issue of the year. Coleman, what was the best issue of the year for you?
Best issue. So many good issues.
Hold back your contempt. Give me something good.
It's a tough one because question quality or not this year, there were a few gems in the rough. If I was really pushed, I mean really, really pushed, I'd have to say one of my favorite issues would have to be probably, I can't remember which number it is, but probably the second or it was either the second or third issue of Rebels where we got to see Lobo fight with Astral Starchild. That was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. So
that research you did,
really good issue. And Lobo had that Red Lantern ring, so it totally counts.
All right, so Rebels. Unknown number, but featuring Lobo with a Red Lantern ring, not used, is Colton's favorite issue of 2011. Tuhan, your best issue for number 2011, for the year 2011.
My best issue number 2011 was, no. All right, my best issue for 2011, it's, we already gave it a best cover and an honorable mention for second best cover, I suppose. It's Emerald Warriors number 8, which Brandon and Frank both liked as the best cover, and I think I gave it as my second best. But I sort of, you know, there was that Hal and Guy fight in the snow, and I like the art. The art on the snow is really good, and also the art on the ice pre-com. And yeah, I like the story. The fight was cool. It was simple. It wasn't trying too hard. And yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Emerald Warriors number 8, my best issue of the year.
Okay, Brandon, yeah. your best issue of the year 2011.
All right, this is really tough for me. I'm going to mention my honorable mention first. My honorable mention would be Green Lantern number 4 that came out just this month, or just last month in December. And it was really, really good. It had a great cliffhanger and a little bit of character development for everybody. I thought it was really good. But I'm going to go with War of the Green Lanterns. Aftermath, number. Oh, wait, I'm wrong. Excuse me. It's actually Green Lantern Corps number 63, written by Scott Collins, that featured art by Scott Collins, Daniel HDR, Joe Prado, and Freddie E. Williams II. Yeah, it was a great little issue. Had different segments featuring different members of the Corps, including Kyle in the cafeteria getting in a fight where his buddy Tomat Rue, I think his name is, the new guy.
Tomar 2.
He came. Yeah, whatever his name. Yeah, Tomar 2. Excuse me. What did I say?
Tomar Rue.
Tomat Rue.
Well, what's the Sinestro Corps guy name?
Romat
Rue. Romat
Rue.
This is ridiculous. All right. Anyway, so it was a bunch of aliens. And they were all feeling the effects of the War of the Green Lanterns, and it was really, really good and had amazing art by the previously mentioned artist. Scott Collins wrote great segments, especially the segment featuring his own art. That was really sad. It's great, great, great issue. Probably the best of the year. Oh, wait, it is the best of the year. Yeah.
All right. So my best issue of the year would have to go to Green Lantern Corps number 1 of the New 52 run, mainly for the fact that this is the pretty much like how Kuhan enjoyed Emerald Warriors number 8, and it featured, you know, Hal Jordan and Guy Gardner and their dynamic. This one featured Guy Gardner and John Stewart and their dynamic. And many listeners are familiar with, like, the Eagle Heart run back in, like, you know, the 80s and stuff like that. These two characters were at each other's throats constantly back when. Like, you know, this issue pretty much significantly shows how much these characters have grown apart and through the years, mainly for just being how they treat each other to the point of how they look at the world now, how far away they are from humanity now. Mainly because, you know, their duties and the fact that they'll never give it up because they weren't afraid of hiding their identities, much like how Jordan was or how Kyle Rayner were. These are the two Green Lanterns fully acceptable of their public figure and public identities that they decided that this would not be a weakness to them, but much of a strength. And this issue itself shows how much of a weakness it became for them in humanity's standpoint, because no one can understand how these guys even function, or how it can even work in a proper world setting. And Peter Tomasi took that and pretty much made, and ran with it. And I love it as the first issue of the New 52 as one of the best issues that came out. And you can even hear that during one of our previous episodes when we reviewed the issue itself. So moving on, we're gonna cover the best and worst artists of the year. So the nominees were Fernando Pazman, Ed Benes, Doug Monkey, Tyler Kirkham, Harvey Talabau, Miguel Sepúlveda, Scott Collins, and Joe Prado. These were the artists nominated for both Worst and Best Artists of 2011. So, Talton, or Kuan, actually, Kuan, what was your worst artist of the year?
My worst artist of the year, I said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again. It wasn't Tyler Kirkham, because we had a new artist on Lantern-related books this year, and his name is... I should look up his actual name, but it's Ed Benes. Ed Benes is my worst artist of the year because, as you know, I believe him to be extremely awful, and I believe Eric shares my opinion here, so I'm gonna stick with José Edil Benes Becerra. Ed Benes.
So his name is not Ed?
Nope, he's Brazilian. It's José. His name is José.
There's not even a Eduardo.
Edil Benes is his middle name. So he just took out the il out of the middle and called himself Ed Benes.
Lazy bastard.
All right, so Brandon, what was your worst artist of the year?
Unfortunately, as much as Eric loves him to death, I'm going to have to give it to Harvey Taliabao.
Harvey Taliabao!
I don't like the guy. You know, he just doesn't fit. He does these close-ups on characters, and he always seems to be 10 inches into their nose. It's just not the good enough style for Green Lantern. It's the wrong fit. Maybe he'll work better on Green Arrow coming this year, but absolutely not the right fit for Green Lantern.
All right. Colvin, worst artist of the year.
That's really tough because, honestly, I thought a lot of the artists were good or at least had some good points to them. Like, if I was really pushed, I'd have to actually agree with Kuan. I mean, I like all the artworks for different reasons, but I think Ed was just the weakest of a pretty good bunch.
To mention, my worst artist of the year 2011 has to go to Tyler Kirkham. Nothing against the guy personally, but just that he needs to work on his...
anatomy?
Not just anatomy, but perspective. His perspective needs a lot of work. That's the only thing I would say.
And also, a woman can't have her. You can't see her breasts and her butt at the same time. The front of both. It's not possible. Ed Benes also needs to learn that.
It's definitely.
It's kind of funny how some of the most stylized artists also have problems with perspective.
All right. So for best artist of the year. Too high. What was your best artist of the year?
My best artist of the year. I love Scott Collins, but you know we didn't have. I don't think we got the best of his work in the one issue he had. So I think my best artist is going to go to the regular artist on Green Lantern, Doug Mankey. It's just solid work. You know, he had his occasional slip ups. Obviously, every artist does. But when Mankey was doing his own work, and often when he was inking his own work, and I think Christian Alamy also did some pretty good inking on there too. It was solid work. It was good. It was I loved Mankey's work on Green Lantern. It was all good.
Brandon, your best artist for the year 2011.
I mentioned this earlier, and Kuan just mentioned it. Scott Collins did a phenomenal job on Green Lantern Corps 63. Joe Prado's up there. Freddie E. Williams, the second, who we didn't mention in the nominations list, but did a fantastic job as well. That being said, you just can't argue with the amount of work that Doug Mankey put in. He's done some great, great, great things. And, you know, he's been the star of this new relaunch. And, hey, you can't argue with perfection. So, Doug Mankey, congratulations.
Mm. Talton, your best artist for the year 2011.
Jeez, I hate to feel like a parrot, but Doug Mankey killed it this year. He was definitely the best on the Green Lantern books. I mean, he's just a wonderful artist. He's a great guy, and he can just do some amazing things with a pen.
See, this is where I have to sound like the choir. Even though I will give an honorable mention to Doug Mankey, his work is phenomenal. He's been killing it since when he started his run on Green Lantern. But I have to give it to Fernando Pazurin. He's been doing great work in Green Lantern Corps. Fantastic use of like the landscape. Fantastic use of overall anatomy and characters in the series that he's been doing since Emerald Wars to Green Lantern Corps. And it's just phenomenal. I just have to admit that his work has gone far and beyond the normal, and it's becoming one of the lead Green Lantern books at the moment. Moving on, we're going to go to our best and worst writer of 2011.
And the nominees are...
Tony Bedard, Peter Tomasi, and Jeff Johns. These are our three nominees for best and worst writer of the year 2011.
No Peter Milligan?
No Peter Milligan.
He barely counts.
You know what, you want to fetch a Peter Milligan? Is that going to be your worst? I'll say it. He's not going to be your worst?
He's not going to be my worst.
Then why are we managing him at all?
Say it. Peter Milligan could be my best.
Peter Milligan's a good writer on other books.
You never know.
All right, we got in the first take. All right, so Colton.
Yes.
Colton, who is your worst writer in the year 2011 for the Green Lantern titles?
They all had good moments and bad moments.
But the worst moments went to...
I'm sorry. I love the guy as a writer. He's a cool guy, but I gotta give it to, and I feel bad saying this, Tomasi, because he did the worst crime. He just write bad writing. The problem was the end of Emerald Wars was entire. The whole book was entirely forgettable, and that's worse than being a bad book. At least then you have something to talk about. I cannot, for the life of me, remember much of anything from that book.
All right, Brandon, your worst writer for the year 2011, the Green Lantern titles.
Guys, I need you to take a moment here and remember this moment because I'm about to agree with Colton.
So all your listeners out there are paying attention. This is the first in Green Lantern history and the Green Lantern Corecast history. Brandon West is in full agreement with Colton Clayton.
Even Eric, has agreed with Colton on occasion, but Brandon has never agreed with Colton.
This is the happiest moment of my life.
This is what dreams are made of, folks. This is what our award show is all about.
Yeah, we make dreams happen here. Peter Tomasi, what happened? Oh, my God. Like, he didn't write a single good thing this year. Sorry, Frank. Green Lantern Corps number one is good, but it's not that good. I think it looks good against everything else he did in 2011, and that's not saying much because... You know, and granted, there were some editorial changes in Emerald Warriors that stopped his plot lines cold, but you dragged it out for 13 issues, and that's just not fair. That's not fair to me, and I'm me, you know, and then you start off with Green Lantern Corps, the New 52, and you bring in New Lanterns, cool, great, but then you kill them off one by one by one, and... God help me, if I hear another Die Hard line out of Guy Gardner's mouth, I might kill myself. I might actually fly to New York, jump out a building, and kill myself.
Jump out of Frank's apartment building.
I'll do that. That's probably a safer landing.
It would be a safe landing, actually.
Yeah, Peter Tomasi, get it together. Stop killing all these lanterns and get it together.
All right. Tuhan, you're worse.
My worst writer. Listen, you know, Tomasi had some bad stuff, but I think I can chuck that up to editorial mandates and like, oh no, listen, you have seven issues and you have to have one story in those seven issues because then we're going to war. So I'm gonna blame Jeff Johns for anything that bad happened that in Emerald Warriors. And as far as Core goes, I think you know he can introduce characters and kill them off all he wants. I'm going to have to give my worst writer to Colton's favorite, Tony Bedard. You know, he's an okay guy, but everything just, I don't know, it was, he doesn't understand the characters, I don't think. He just doesn't get the characters that he's writing. He must have missed some research or something. I feel like nobody really that was working on the book knew what they were really doing. It's like, oh yeah, Green Lantern Corps, and this is who Kyle Rayner is now, as opposed to who he actually is. It's just, I don't know. I feel like somebody told him who the characters were, as opposed to him reading about them. So I'm going to go with Tony Bedard.
All right. For my pick of worst writer of 2011, was hard, I mean, to pick between these three guys. But,
because they were all so great.
Because they are all such amazing people. I would have to give it to 2010 Scream Award winner Jeff John.
Two-time Spike TV Scream Award winner Jeff John.
Yeah. Two-time Spike TV Award winner Jeff Johns. I'm sorry. I mean, he's pretty much a head honcho when it comes to Green Lantern related storylines. I mean, and DC in general. But pretty much everything that was going on in 2011 had a staple on it, and then he created the War of the Green Lantern storyline, which pretty much debunked any other story that was happening during the time. So any other story that may have had a point or may have had a conclusion or may have had a consensus that's knowing where they were going had to stop in their tracks because of what was going on with Jeff Johns, War of the Green Lanterns, and not only that, Flashpoint. So everything that happened during this era, Jeff Johns had his hands in and pretty much stopped cold any other storyline that happened. Now, his storyline during the time was Green Lantern New Guardians, which took Hal Jordan and the other multicolored brigade of rainbow-esque characters to around the world to find the entities of the multicolored spectrum.
And then nothing happened.
And then nothing happened. Literally nothing happened with these characters because halfway through the story, he changed it to War of the Green Lanterns, and that pretty much derailed everything else. Everything else ended up being inconsequential to the original storyline. So honestly, I had to give it to Jeff Johns. I'm sorry. He had a good idea, which then he went, you know what, I have a better idea, and then derailed everything in the process. So I have to give it to, two-time Spike Award winner Jeff Johns as my worst writer of 2011. Sorry, Jeff.
Two-time Spike TV Scream Award winner and one-time Green Lantern Core Cast worst writer.
Worst writer award goes to Jeff Johns. So best writer of the year 2011, let me hear it. Colton.
Best. Well, we've heard my worst, and that leaves us two choices because we can't choose the Red Lantern guy.
Well, you can if you want to.
You can still choose.
I wasn't going to choose him anyways. He's kind of middle of the road for me.
Middle of the road?
Yeah, he had some moments. And plus, I can't fault the guy because the other stuff I'm reading is just so good, I kind of have to give him a little leeway. But on the matter of best, it's kind of a toss-up, but I think Frank had a little bit of influence on me because you are right. Jeff Johns pretty much screwed the entire line of Green Lantern this year with his ideas, which didn't even go anywhere. I got to give it to Tony because he may have had some iffy moments here or there in the year, but at least he's telling some interesting stories and taking Kyle somewhere that doesn't involve him just being shoved into the background. It's nice to see some mysteries going on. Actually dealing with the Guardians other than just standing in the background.
I'd have to say that would be quote unquote Kyle. A character named Kyle Rayner.
It's the closest we're ever going to get to Kyle. Let's face it. If this Kyle's the way as Kyle is, I'm fine with it because it's fine with me. I'm not as bothered as you apparently are. But generally, I've actually found some fun issues with the guy. I mean, there are a few issues I have some issues with, ironically, but generally speaking, I have enjoyed it.
Also, he pays your bills. So don't forget about that part.
The joke's funny, but sadly, no one pays my bills. I'm kind of a hobo.
Your parents pay your bills.
Okay, let's not derail this to a pointless joke.
Sorry, anyways.
So, if you continue on, I have made my choice.
Okay, Brandon. Brandon, your best writer for the year 2011 in the Green Lantern franchise.
My New Year's resolution is to agree with Colton. So, Tony Bedard is my 2011 best Green Lantern writer.
Okay.
No explanation needed. No, I'm going to explain. He was awesome. He was awesome as an idea man. I talked to Andrew enough times off the cast that we talk about James Robinson far more than we should. And every time we bring him up, we say, James Robinson is a great idea man. He has great ideas, but his execution needs work. And I think that's exactly what Tony Bedard is. The Weaponer storyline is a great idea. The guy who created Sinestro's ring is coming for revenge. Great idea. Not so great on the execution. And then he moves on. He says, all right, Peter Tomasi did a piss poor building up of Kyle and Sorenik. He just kind of threw them together and said, they're a couple. And this is Tony Bedard saying, I'm going to break them up. They don't fit each other. She's a surgeon. He's just some punk artist. Genius idea. Just not on the execution. And I think if you go down issue by issue, and even continuing in the New Guardians, which just left us with a great cliffhanger, you'll see that Tony Bedard is a genius at these. Okay, let's stretch it. He's a great idea man. Like, terrific, phenomenal idea man. But his execution needs work. And I think even in his faulty execution, there is a lot of good there. And so much good that it cancels out anything Jeff, Peter, or Pete has done all year. Absolutely, Tony Bedard.
All right. Kuhan, your best writer.
So I guess my New Year's resolution is to absolutely disagree with Colton and Brandon, because I'm going to say my best writer is going to be Peter Tomasi. Because as we've seen from his previous work, when he doesn't have to deal with editorial mandates and other people reaching their hands into his books, it's quite good. And I think anything that was problematic with his book, besides maybe Emerald Warriors number 13, I think everything else that was a problem with his book was mainly due to the influence of Geoff Johns saying, listen, okay, you got 7 issues now until we go into war, and then you got 3 more issues after that because Flashpoint's happening and we're doing that. And he's like, okay, I guess I'll do what I can. And that's why Last Will dragged out. That's why I'm sure his stuff on War was pretty good. I thought the Emerald Warrior stuff during War was pretty good. And then the last 3 issues were you know, they were okay. And the Green Lantern Corps stuff, it was pretty good. You know, the new stuff. So I have to give it to Tomasi.
No, that's weird. And that's good. My choice actually mimics Kuhan's, actually, because my choice for best writer 2011 is Peter Tomasi. I'm sorry to say, Tony Bedard is a great ideas man. He's phenomenal when it actually comes out to when he's actually creating a story. It's true that his execution is rough at best, and he doesn't have a full idea or a grasp of most of the characters, and he works with what he has. But Peter Tomasi does the same thing, and in my respect, does far better in executing his ideas than when he's left uninterrupted or thrown obstacles in his way.
What idea has he had? Zardor?
Well, yeah, during Emerald Wars, Zardor and pretty much the explanation of Word, you know, were as a character himself, where these other Green Lanterns were being thrown to, or what were the energy of the Green Lanterns were being siphoned off to, was a good idea. You know, a mystery of why the Green Lanterns themselves. It was a mystery as to why the Green Lanterns themselves were being depowered, which then was totally thrown off by War of the Green Lanterns. I mean, this was going to be something larger, far larger, instead of just Zardor. I mean, this was supposed to fall into a bigger reign, but of course, it got thrown over the rail because of, you know, Krona and the War of the Green Lanterns. Aside of that, pretty much, you know, even his storylines right now with Green Lantern Corps, with the current Green Lantern Corps storyline, as to the mystery of an entire race of warriors who are pretty much able to negate Green Lantern powers, and or have something to do with what the Guardians have dubbed a mystery of where the power batteries have normally gone to, is a good idea. Pretty much an idea of you know, steeped in Green Lantern mythos, and no one really, you know, dived into. It's he has a good idea. He knows how to make it big, and he knows how to make it grand. That's what Peter Tomasi is able to do. He knows how to make a story from a slow pickup to a grand, you know, grand expanse. He's always normally able to do this. I mean, even in stories unaided during Sinestro Corps War, his stories were one of the best ones that came out during that time. During War of the Green Lanterns, his stories were one of the best ones you wanted to read. I mean, Peter Tomasi knows how to make a story interesting. He knows how to make a story, you know, impactful. He knows how to make a story larger than life half the time. And that's what I love about him. So he is my pick for 2011 Best Writer of the Year.
You guys are crazy.
A nice divide right in the middle on best.
Yeah. It's a two-way split. So we're going to move on to Best New Character of 2011, with our nominees being... Sorry, give me a second. Zardo was already mentioned. Best new characters, nominees are Zardor from the pages of the Green Lantern Emerald Wars, Professor Incid from the pages of Green Lantern, the New 52, Arsona from the pages of Green Lantern, the New 52, Shire Rev from the newly premiered Green Lantern, the animated series, Razor from the newly premiered Green Lantern, the animated series, the Weaponer of Quard from the Green Lantern pages of Green Lantern Corps, and Aya from the newly premiered Green Lantern, the animated series. Those are our nominees for best new characters in 2011. Brandon, what is your best new character?
Arsona. Arsona. She's been around maybe 2-3 issues now, and she's already the most interesting character in the book. This is a girl who stood up for her people from day one. When a Green Lantern came down and said, "Hey, I want to police you," she says, "No, no, I have to trust you." And she gave him that trust. This character is, she has the potential to be long lasting. She has the potential to be fully developed and actually becoming emotionally attached to me as a reader, because already she's got me hooked in her story. And I think that as long as she doesn't, you know, dive in the sack with Sinestro, she'll continue to do so. She'll continue to grow and prosper. Plus, it wasn't a very strong year for new characters, as you can see with the inclusion of Professor Incid. But, yeah, I think Arsona has the potential to be something great. Hopefully she doesn't get a ring that lasts very long, because that would stab her development right in the throat.
That would dangerously make her close to Kamatui.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But Arsona, definitely. Go girl.
You go, girl. All right, so, Colton, your best new character.
I do have to admit that Professor Incid has an interesting design, at least, if nothing else. But, you know, my favorite character, you know, I really like, and I hope it comes back, but I really liked and want to see more from the Weaponer. I mean, I like the idea of the character, you know, the one who forged Sinestro's ring looking for revenge. And I like to think he's still that, but playing Sinestro. Because it's like sitting in the background, learning even further the weaknesses of his group and Sinestro, or at least was before Sinestro ran off. And I just really like the design of the character. I liked the way he kind of like created weapons and used them against the foes. It was a really interesting touch because, let's face it, outside of him, a lot of characters have done some just kind of some silly choices for constructs. And some characters just haven't done anything with constructs. So that's my choice.
Kuhan, your best new character from the year 2011.
My best new character of the year 2011 will be the Weaponer in 2010. before Sinestro showed up. But since I guess I technically can't do that, I'm going to go with Shire Rev from the two episodes, the two-episode premiere of the Green Lantern animated series. And he did die, you know, in those episodes. But since it was, you know, we only have a little bit of it, I'm going to go with him. It was obviously was voiced by Kurtwood Smith, best known as Red from That 70s Show, which was hilarious when I figured it out. I'm like, haha, it's awesome. And yeah, as a character, you know, he was kind of interesting. He was a Green Lantern who, you know, didn't actually know anything about space. And had never, you know, he was a Green Lantern from the outer ring of the Green Lanterns, which was an interesting concept and an interesting idea for the character.
All right, I would like to give an honorable mention to Rev as a choice of best new character created, mainly because again, he was a Green Lantern who knew nothing of the Guardians, still took it upon himself to take the ring and complete his duty as a Green Lantern for a space sector that was devoid of actual Green Lanterns at the time. His character sacrificing himself at the very end of the episode mimicked again the entirety of Kilowog's world being destroyed off, and gave us a glimpse as to Kilowog's inner thinking for the story. So he was a great plot. He was a great plot device character. But he still deserves an honorable mention for being a Green Lantern who performed his duty even though he never needed to actually perform his duties.
Well, I mean, he needed to. He
technically never needed to take the ring.
Yeah,
technically.
Sure.
But I will give it to the Weaponer for 2011. That's an interesting character choice. As the best character, as the best new character created. He is again an interesting character idea. He was created as the one man who created Sinestro's ring and knew the inner ring, inner workings of a Green Lantern's ring or a yellow Sinestro Corps member's ring in and out. So he was able to one, destroy your constructs, or and two, use them against you. He is the perfect antithesis to a Green Lantern. To know your Achilles heel, to know how the inner workings of your mastery, and take you down regardless of you having more firepower than he does. He was created solely for the sake of being a counterpoint to Sinestro, to taking him down, and then eventually joining him and becoming becoming a Sinestro member. And in many ways, if the character develops further than that, he can. He has far more developmental quantities than other characters do. He can easily become the ruling head of the Sinestro Corps War, seeing that Sinestro is gone. I mean, no one can really touch the man. He can literally take you down before you have any real choice of the matter. I mean, Archilo is a logical conclusion as being in Sinestro's right hand, but Weaponer can easily take the throne if he wanted to, or if the character's ever brought around again. So I have to say, the Weaponer, best new character creation of 2011. So we're going to move on to the nitty-gritty, the best of the best now, soon enough. This is for Best Green Lantern Adaptation, and the nominees are the Green Lantern Motion Picture, the animated film Green Lantern Emerald Knights, the one-hour special season premiere Beware My Power from the Green Lantern The Animated Series, and Scorn of the Star Sapphire from Batman The Brave and the Bold. Kuhan, which is your best Green Lantern adaptation?
My best Green Lantern adaptation is Emerald Knights. We did that commentary of it, and we all liked it as an adaptation. It's a great thing for kids or maybe, you know, just new readers to if they want to get into Green Lantern, they can watch Emerald Knights and they have an idea of what Green Lanterns are and what everything is, and it's just good. I liked it. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. Colton, your best Green Lantern adaptation.
Well, I really enjoyed the animated series as an adaptation, getting a chance to see more regular Green Lantern stories in the animated field, which is always nice. But on the other hand, with Scorn of the Star Sapphire, I really love Batman Brave and the Bold, and it really was a good story. It's really a toss-up between those, pretty much a tie, because it could go either way for me.
Oh, okay. So it's a tie. Brandon, your best Green Lantern adaptation.
This is easy. You guys know it's easy. You're lying to yourselves thinking it's anything but this. It's Green Lantern, a live-action movie. Absolutely. Hands down. Yes,
I can assume because of Blake Lively.
That's just the biggest factor.
That's just 99.99% of the reason.
But the 0.01 in that is...
Tap is water?
It's water in the tap, and it's Ryan Reynolds with his shirt off. I mean...
And you try to convince that you're not an 18-year-old girl.
No, of course. No, stop being ridiculous. Blake Lively made that movie.
You just said that the second best part of the movie was Ryan Reynolds' shirt. Ryan Reynolds, I mean, shirtless.
Honestly,
lack of Ryan Reynolds' shirt.
I can admit this. The lack of Ryan Reynolds' shirt did make that movie at least 15% better.
So you're saying is it would have been equally good with Matthew McConaughey?
I'm saying if you take out Ryan Reynolds' shirt, then you're just stuck with a cloud monster. You can't have one without the other.
Okay. So for my best Green Lantern adaptation goes to actually Scorn of the Star Sapphire from Batman.
Stop Brave being Bold. Different, Frank. You don't mean
I'm
that.
Sorry. I do actually mean this. I mean, the story itself, being simplistic as it were, was one of the best characterizations of Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris shown on the screen. And again, the Batman Brave and the Bold series itself was great for its dynamic views, was great for its character creations, and was great for just storytelling in general. I mean, the episode itself showed more of their dynamic as characters than Jeff Johns has done in the past 40 issues. I mean, literally, this episode alone sums up their relationship to a T, and it was great for just that. I mean, honestly, if it was anything else, if I was given a full series of Green Lantern and Batman: Brave and the Bold, I will take it without any hesitation. So yes, for my 2011 pick, it will be Score the Star Sapphire.
Crazy talk.
So we're gonna move now to best and worst story arc for 2011, with the nominees being War of the Green Lanterns, Green Lantern, New Guardians, The Weaponer, War of the Green Lanterns Aftermath, Last Will from Emerald Warriors, Sinestro from Green Lantern, The New 52, Green Lantern, New Guardians, Green Lantern, New Guardians, and Flashpoint, Abin Sur, Green Lantern. These are the nominees for best and worst story arcs. Brandon, what was your worst story arc of 2011?
The worst? Oh, man. I was so excited for the good stuff. The worst.
Save the best for last.
Is that what we're doing? The worst is hands down New Guardians. The arc.
New Guardians from Green Lantern.
There you go.
The old New Guardians.
The old guy. The original. No, not the original.
Not Snowflame.
We're not taking it back to the 90s. No.
The new old New Guardians.
The Geoff Johns scripted New Guardians story.
Well, you know,
what was your reasoning as to why?
We don't know how much ghostwriting is going on in New Guardians right now. But yeah, okay, anyways, continue.
Yeah. Brandon, what was your reasoning as to
why? It wasn't good. I'm sorry. We went from place to place following these entities. They sucked up people, and we never got real conclusions with that. I think the Predator's host might still be on Earth. I mean, on Zamoran. I don't know. It's just not very good story art. I mean, not story art, storytelling. And, you know, for me to be excited about the entities in the first place was a challenge, and now I hate them. You know, I think the best part of that entire storyline was the fact that, you know, the Blue Lantern entity had landed in Detroit, you know, and I was just like, oh, cool, that's nice. And, you know, she saved the day because she stopped the rapist. But, you know, that shouldn't be the highlight of a Green Lantern arc, you know. And
what's the surprising turn, especially seeing that a lot of things had to do with rape in that
was a lot of rape in that issue.
In that entire arc, there was a lot to do with rape in that arc.
Yeah. And remember the insurance guy? I mean, the guy in the ambulance was just, I'm just going to scam people out of their insurance. Like, what are you, like, why are you so evil? bad.
All right. Kuhan, your worst story arc for 2011.
My worst story arc for 2011 is, I feel like this is almost cheating, but I'm going to go with it anyway. It's Flashpoint, Abin Sur.
Now give us your reasoning.
reasoning. Oh, there are so many reasons. It was just bad, obviously. The art was just weird. It didn't matter.
Felipe Massera did that, didn't he?
Maybe.
Or was that Ben Oliver?
I don't remember. I just remember it was weird. It just didn't feel like it belonged to the story. It didn't matter at all. And there were multiple points like, oh, Abin Sur's dead. And, oh, no, he didn't die. Oh, now he's going to die. Nope, he's still not dead. Oh, now he's going to why is he not dying? What's going on? Like, he keeps almost dying. And, you know, it's one thing when a character almost dies three times over the course of two or three years. It's another thing when he almost dies three times over the course of three issues. It's like they wanted to do a lot with this, and they didn't have enough time, and they shouldn't have done as much as they tried to do. So I'm going to have to give it to this book.
All right. Colton, your worst story arc for 2011.
That's a hard choice because
you give somebody good points. I mean, you nominate ones that I didn't think of, and then that's like, well, those are pretty bad too.
Focus clearly on the one that gives you more hatred.
It was pretty bad this year.
Yes, it was. There's so many arcs to hate. It's just so full of hatred. What do I hate the most, though? That's the thing. Is it hate, or is it just not giving a shit? Because sometimes you just not giving a shit's worse than hating.
All right, now you're just stalling for time.
Yeah.
I am stalling for time because there were so many terrible books. Let me see. If I had to be pushed, I guess I would say the first arc of or whatever arc it was that disqualified for Emerald Warriors. Yes.
So Last Will.
The only arc for Emerald Warriors.
Like I said, it's not so much as bad as it's blasé, and it's worse because it's blasé.
I think if you give a writer worst writer because of a certain arc, I think that should qualify it as worst story arc. So yes.
Yes, that is pretty fair because that is solely why I did it.
All right. So for my pick for worst story arc of 2011, it has to go for Alpensor's Green Lantern in Flashpoint. I mean, honorable mention will be for New Guardians, mainly because, again, yes, a lot of things did not happen in that issue the way we expected it to. I mean, we were introduced to the entities. We wanted to know what was going to happen to them. We wanted to know the final conclusion when they were all met together and what the hell they would do with one another. But, of course, none of that happened. War of the Green Lantern started up, and Krona took all the entities and ran away with them. And a lot of rapists were running around that book for some reason. As for the reason I give it to Flashpoint Alvin Stories, because yes, the storyline itself was for a character that technically could have been more of. I mean, yes, Alvin Stories was the original Green Lantern that gave Hal Jordan his ring and then perished when he came to Earth. But this was supposed to be the story where, the catchphrase of all of Flashpoint, he didn't die in the crash. You know, but you know, every issue or every of the three issues that was supposed to be like, oh, look, he's gonna die. No, he didn't. He was supposed to die. Oh no, he didn't.
The best part is that it was not that he didn't die in the crash. That they had another crash later that he also didn't die in.
Yeah, we had to mimic two crashes. Just go like, yeah, you see, he's known for dying in a plane crash, but he didn't die in these two specific plane crashes.
And look,
didn't
look,
we find out about his sister in that, though? Can't you guys look at the silver lining in that?
Yes, that yep. To elaborate more on the character that Geoff Johns created, his sister, who was, a love interest to Sinestro, who had perished in the beginning or some point in the story during the Flashpoint timeline. So again, we didn't get to know much about his sister, just the fact that she embraced life or such and so on, which became a key element at the end of the story where he embraced life and became the white entity. So, the crappy thing about it is that, yes, Adam Flagman did what he can with the story that was given to him, but he gave only, 17 pages or 19 pages at the end for the third final issue, which resolved nothing, mind you. He became the White Lantern and was all like, this is what I am now. Story ended, Flashpoint destroyed, everything resetted to the New 52. So technically, Alvin Stor's story had nothing to do with anything.
It was entirely pointless.
It was entirely pointless. Much like 52, much like Flashpoint. So that is the pick for the worst story arcs of 2011. Now for the best story arcs of 2011. Brandon?
Woo! All right, you guys should know this. I picked Tony Bedard as best writer of 2011, so I have to go with a Tony Bedard scripted story. The best thing he did was clearly War of the Green Lantern's Aftermath. Two issues, two solid issues, one of them focusing strongly on Kyle and Sorenik's relationship, and I thought that was really good. We got to see Sorenik almost forgive Kyle trying to make it better, but not necessarily wanting to get back in a relationship, just trying to be that good guy that he thinks he is. I thought that was great development. We also got to see how the rest of the Green Lantern Corps reacted to being traumatized or what were they during the war? mind control. Yeah.
Mind control murder,
Yeah, they were killing. Apparently, they were killing each other.
Cruise control missiles, as Eric called them.
Mind control. Yeah,
and we also got to see new recruits suffering because, you know, they had done so much to their own people, and they didn't even expect the Green Lantern ring. It was absolutely drama-filled angst, and I loved it. I really hope that Tony gets a chance to capitalize on the Sora and Kyle relationship soon. And this, you know, essentially proves that I'm right, and Tony Bedard is the best writer of 2011. So War to Green Lantern's aftermath. Booyah.
All right, Calden, what was your best story arc of 2011?
I kind of have to agree with Brandon on this one. I mean, it was a great follow up to a storyline that was kind of rough. I mean, we get to see the results of what happened, how the characters feel, going in depth on that, what happened as because of the war. I mean, it's an important part that you can't seem to forget, that you can't just end an event and then say, oh, everyone's fine, the end. I mean, these people were forced to, without control, just go around murdering people. I mean, even if you know it's not your fault,
and then the ring diagnosed them because the ring is a doctor.
It's the ultimate weapon in the universe. If it can't detect something like that, then it can do anything you imagine. If you imagine, detect this. It should detect this.
Can't be a psychiatrist, though.
It's got artificial intelligence.
It's a condition, not a... Whatever.
Psychiatrists are
doctors. Go away. Go away.
Okay, so... Colton?
Sorry, go ahead.
I definitely agree with that choice.
Okay. Kuhan, your best story arc of 2011.
My best story arc of 2011. Ignoring what happened afterwards and what happened before, I think I'm going to have to give it to New Guardians within the Green Lantern title. If it hadn't gone on to War of the Green Lanterns and had, you know, continued on to where the logical conclusion would be, and then War of the Green Lantern, not War, sorry, New Guardians would have been so much better. It would have been, you know, like an actual story. It would have made sense. And so the only reason that we can give it a bad rating is because War of the Green Lanterns screwed it out of its logical conclusion. Because as it was happening, you know, we liked most of the issues. Some of what actually happened was sort of iffy. But we liked most of it as a whole, just the fact that it continued on to War of the Green Lanterns and derailed everything that actually happened. That's the reason that it was not good. So
if it wasn't for that crappy conclusion, it'd be a good story.
Right. If it weren't for the conclusion and the conclusion being the next story arc, then it would have been totally fine. And so that's why I'm going to give it to that.
All right.
In a world where it was a good story.
Now, it may surprise everyone here as when I say this, but best story arc is going to go to War of the Green Lanterns for me. Yeah, this is confusing because everybody said, go ahead, especially in the scene that I was bashing earlier for the fact that it derailed so many storylines in the process of its creation. But the one thing I have to give it, and in truth, I have to give it for both War of the Green Lanterns and the Aftermath, mainly because in conjunction, both of these stories, you know, paved way to character development. Things actually happened in a way. Mogul was destroyed. Characters had to go against their norm to pretty much defeat the enemy. And characters were still to this day being affected by the change that occurred during War of the Green Lanterns, such as Sinestro becoming the Green Lantern, John having to destroy Mogul. These things actually had in a way a lasting effect, like throughout. As for execution of the story, not the greatest thing of all time. I just have to give it for the story itself being what it had done as the best for 2011. Still, though, a lot of it could have been a lot better. But it was, you know, by against New Guardians, against the Weaponry, against Last Will, and currently the Sinestro storyline, it is one of the better storylines that came out. One of the best story arcs that came out through 2011.
You're a fool, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah, it could possibly be that. But a fool is...
Only fools have horses?
Huh?
That was a TV show. Never mind. Continue.
Only a fool has four letters in it. Whatever. Scratch all that from the record. Now we're moving on to the best and worst characters, character of the year. This is the holy grail of our award show. This is where we hand out the best award to the best and worst characters of the year of 2011. So the nominees were... Where the hell did I put the nominees?
There it is. Put that drum roll.
The nominees are... I don't know what drum roll is. So we'll add a drum roll in post. The nominees are, for best and worst character of the year, Hal Jordan from Green Lantern, Carol Ferris from Green Lantern, Thal Sinestro, also from Green Lantern, Salak from Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps, Abin Sur from Green Lantern Abin Sur Flashpoint, Ganthet from the pages of Green Lantern Corps, Atrocitus from the pages of Green Lantern and Red Lanterns, Kyle Rayner from the pages of Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern New Guardians, John Stewart from the pages of Green Lantern Corps and previously from the pages of Green Lantern, and Guy Gardner from the pages of Green Lantern Corps and Emerald Warriors. These are your nominees for best and worst character of the year of 2011. Kuhan, your worst character of the year of 2011.
My worst character of the year of 2011 is Atrocitus. Nobody seems to be able to write any sort of Atrocitus. Like, nobody can write him the same. They're all completely different characters as every different person writes him. They all look completely different. It's as if there's like 8 different people named Atrocitus that are Red Lanterns, that lead the Red Lanterns running around, because they all have 8 different personalities and 8 different faces. And it's just nobody can seem to get a hold on who Atrocitus is. I don't even know who Atrocitus is, because nobody seems to know who Atrocitus is. So I'd have to give it to Atrocitus, because it's the writing and drawing on him is atrocious.
That's
horrible. It's horrible.
All right, Colton, your worst character for the year of 2011.
Coming from my second worst storyline, if I had to have picked one, Abin Sur. Oh, God, that pointless, terrible book.
Why is your reasoning as to why Abin Sur is the worst character?
It was entirely pointless. His whole existence merited nothing. He did more in dying in that one spaceship crash in the Origin than he did in this entire thing of almost dying repeatedly.
And the funny thing is, he did more in dying in his own book to actually make a point, even though it ended with him reviving again. White Lanterns. Is there anything you can't
stupid
do?
Stupid plot points.
All right, Brandon. Your worst character for the year 2011.
We started this year off with a big Cyborg Superman story wrapping up from Tony Bedard. And then, you know, all the focus was on Kyle and Ganthet's relationship and how it would move forward with the new team. And then it changed. And then it's like, oh, yeah, well, Ganthet's got to go now. And Ganthet went. You know, and Ganthet just didn't do a single thing all year long. He didn't run his Blue Lantern Corps. In fact, he didn't even go back to Odom. He didn't do anything as a Green Lantern. He was a fluke. He lost a hand. Like, you're a guardian. How did you lose a body part?
And then randomly grew it back.
And it grew back, right. It took like a day.
You just wait till this grows back.
I don't like Ganthet. And even now, he's just a pawn in the Guardian schemes again. Ganthet had a terrible year. And I don't blame any of the writers, because, I mean, what do you do with the guy? He's just a bald little green man. You put him in a position where he could succeed, and
he fails on you. He's actually blue.
Did I say green?
Yeah.
Yes, you did say green.
He's green on the inside.
He's yellow on the inside.
He's all the colors on the inside.
Whatever. Anyway, Ganthet had a terrible year. I don't see 2012 looking any better for him. Sorry, Ganthet.
All right. Now, for my pick as worst character of the year, I have to agree with Kuhan, actually. Atrocitus is my pick for Worst Character. I don't care if he actually did gain his own title.
His own series. He's going to be banging Bleez. So
yeah,
no.
He has done nothing. I'm sorry. Since the beginning of his creation, he had a specific motive, and that was to gain revenge for his planet being destroyed. And as simplistic as it was easy understandable until every other little story aspect was thrown into his character, which made him more complex, yes, but also complicated to follow. Originally, his planet was destroyed, and he was left in with the Empire of Tears, and then he had to gain revenge on the Guardians of the Universe, which then ended up being specifically only Krona. And then when that was taken away from him, he lost all purpose. And then we were also shoveled in the crap that he was apparently a philosopher. He's a philosopher of his kind, and yet he spends more time moping around trying to answer the questions of life than it is to actually govern his rabid dogs that he made.
Is he a philosopher? I thought he was a psychiatrist.
He was a philosopher.
I think he was a psychiatrist. Or was that just Little Lanterns and we screwed it up?
Yeah, it was in Red Lantern. He was a philosopher. That's what made it completely ridiculous as to, you know, his character, his character motivation, his character's development, his character when he first appeared. Even the right hand of God during the worst issue that I mentioned, he was pardoned because his crusade was righteous. Yet I've seen nothing of the fact of this. He killed untold countless people to get what he wanted, and then when he didn't succeed in it, his character became thrown to the wayside and given his own series. Again, this has not been the year for many of the other Lanterns, from the Rainbow Brigade. I mean, we haven't seen anything from Indigo One. We haven't seen anything from Black Hand. We haven't seen anything from all these other little whatever. Even Satan Warg hasn't done much, even though he's shown up in New Guardians. But yeah, these guys have not done anything at all. Now, Atrocitus has suffered the biggest from this. I have to say, his character could have been a lot better and a lot grander in the grand scheme of things, and that seems to be the case in the animated series for Green Lantern, because again, he's leading the charge there. But in story wise, in comic book related news, he's lackluster at best. So now for the best of the best, the best character of the year 2011, Kuhan, the best character for year 2011 goes to.
Oh, the best character of the year 2011. This is a tough one. There are so many great characters of 2011. I think I'm going to have to give it to Jon Stewart.
You gave it to him because he killed someone?
He has a great television show on Comedy Central. It's... makes me laugh every night. No, okay. So I'm gonna yes, because he killed Mogo, partially because he killed Mogo. It's not all only because he killed Mogo. It's because when he killed Mogo, he had no choice to kill Mogo. And then after that, he had grown as a character, and he understood what he'd done. He tried to repent for whatever he could, and it changed his character significantly, and it wasn't just one-liners out of him or a character who was just named Jon Stewart and wasn't actually properly Jon Stewart, or a bunch of crappy characters. Out of through process of elimination, at the very least, it's Jon Stewart.
Okay. Colton.
And also Stephen Colbert is good, too.
Colton, your best character for the year 2011 goes to...
Best character. Definitely, I would have to say, well, on one hand, it's kind of cool seeing Sinestro back in the fold, you know, getting to see him have his turn at things. It's a little bit forces, and if I had to go with anyone, I would definitely say Kyle. He's finally taking a stand. He's getting out of under of everyone's booth and everyone's shadows. He's finally just saying, you know what, I'm going my own way, and fuck everyone else who disagrees with me. Kyle's seen in a moment like this because he was just forced into too many people's shadows and forced to go along with things, and it's good to see him finally decide to make his own path, for better or worse.
Okay. Brandon, your pick for 2011's best character goes to?
Hal Jordan.
But I do want to mention that Colton almost convinced me to pick Kyle Rayner. Kyle had a great year. He's got a new series. He dumped his girlfriend, got the baggage off his shoulder, lost his best friend, and he's still doing fine. Kyle had a great year.
Completely forgave his mother's murderer.
Exactly. Well, ignored his mom's murder.
Completely ignored the fact that his mom was murdered and totally hung out with her murderer. Yeah.
We'll see you come back to that eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. Maybe.
But all that being said, Hal Jordan had a better year. The guy killed Krona when he had the entities in him. That's some real deal stuff. The guy, his worst day ever, he still got his ring back the next night. You can't mess with that. How is your worst day finding out you got evicted? You embarrassed yourself on a movie set, and yet you still get to go to a nice restaurant with someone you care deeply about. That's a pick me up. Sure, it didn't end well, but
didn't
she'll
get
come
that
back.
Lease. Didn't
she'll
get
come
lease.
Back. She'll come back. But by the end of the night, you get your ring back. So life's grand again. You get to save the day again. That's who Hal Jordan is. He's the guy who saves the day. And he saves the day time and time again. No, he didn't grow as a person. He's still stuck in his immature ways. But that's Hal Jordan. He's not going to change. And as long as he stays consistent and we see more of Hal Jordan, the person, than Hal Jordan, the guy who saves the day, then I'll be happy. But, you know, if he continues to have a year like this where we get to see glimpses of Hal and his thought process and Hal the superhero, then I'll be happy. Hal Jordan had a great year compared to Jon Stewart, who just murdered people, and Guy Gardner, who murdered people. You know, Hal Jordan murdered the bad guy. Hal Jordan's the best of the year.
Okay. I want to give honorable mention to Kyle Rayner because he did do grand things, and he pretty much stepped up his game and pretty much went on his own path. Guy Gardner as well, for pretty much being Guy Gardner. Jon Stewart, I don't even know if I want to give it to him solely for the fact that he did blow up MOGA when he had other options to do except just blow up MOGA.
It's his destiny to kill planets.
It's his, actually, and to be honest, it's his destiny to pretty much always kill something he loves and then deal with it. You know, that has become the recurring theme for Jon Stewart.
At least he's not whining about Zanchi anymore.
I can't really give it to Hal Jordan. I mean, Hal Jordan is expected to be, like, you know, the overall, I'm going to be me and then defeat the bad guy because that's who I am deal.
When was the last time Hal Jordan went up against the bad guy and won? By himself.
By himself?
Yeah.
Didn't he kill Necron?
No, he didn't. Well, he had a bunch of people to beat Necron with. And he beat Sinestro with Cal at his side, but he used a 2x4. He beat up Amansoor.
Exactly. You see how far back you're reaching? We're 6 years back now. Hal Jordan.
Well, he had Sinestro on his side when he beat Krona too. All right, so that's technically not
he
by himself.
There, but he didn't deliver the punch like
same thing with when Hal Jordan defeated Sinestro. Hal was there.
So Sinestro is the Blue Lantern to Hal.
I'm just saying it doesn't happen as often as you think. You should give Hal some more credit.
All right. But my best of the year will go to Sinestro. Saul Sinestro is the best character of the year, mainly because he has been the focal point to so many characters. I mean, so many issues. He was focal point in the Weaponry storyline, Green Lanterns, New Guardians. He was there during the War of the Green Lanterns. He still shows up and then pretty much becomes the ace in the hole when Hal Jordan was about to be defeated by Krona. And then he's starring in the Green Lantern issues currently. I mean, his character, much like Hal Jordan, doesn't change, but the small little glimmers of his of what happens around him is what makes the character such a prominent figure. He still pretty much is, you know, he leads by example, and he pretty much will even if his character does eventually get some sort of redemption, even though none of us want that, he is still unforgiving in the fact that he is correct in all that he does. So I have to give it to Sinestro. He's such a good villain that I want to remain a villain in that facet, that he's just the best character of the year.
He's such an awesome dick.
He's such an awesome Hitler. So
I don't think awesome Hitler is words you want to say.
Just going to make that the episode title.
That is the episode title.
That's the episode title from now on. So to everyone here who has
for every episode from now on, the episodes are going to be called Awesome Hitler.
So to everyone who's been listening to us on our awesome award show and end of the year special, I'm Freddie Mateo, wishing you all to stay green, and that Sinestro is an awesome Hitler.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic green, it is the color green, it can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me, it says, how?